Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Teenagers from first to fourth year haven't been back in school at all since Christmas, and Monday is now going to be their first day in the classroom in 2021. April the 12th, their first day in the classroom this year. So to tell us what parents and students can expect, I'm joined by Irish Times education columnist and mother of seven, Jen Hogan. Jen, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Philip. How are you?
Collective sigh of relief on Monday, yeah? For everybody concerned.
Absolutely, seems to be. I've been speaking to a lot of parents in the run-up to this, and while there's the odd nerve there, the vast majority are completely relieved and overjoyed that this is finally happening. I think over the course of the Easter holidays, there was a worry, particularly as there was talk around industrial action, and I suppose just that general concern about numbers. Would they rise? Might they prevent schools reopening when books were being sent home at the end of, or just before the Easter holidays? So a big sigh of relief that we're finally here and that Monday is D-Day.
I know that we tend to focus on the kids in the exam years, but I have to say I feel particularly for the first years who have had the most interrupted introduction to secondary education.
Oh, it's been really, really tough on them. I mean, they left primary school in March 2020, never to return again. No closure to their primary school education, no preparation for what lay ahead in secondary school. Yeah. And we already know that's a huge transition. And then obviously masks a necessity, of course, but it's still a totally different climate in which they were going into school, trying to make new friends, find their bearings. Everything was so, so different. And obviously within other restrictions that were necessary within the classroom. So it has been a really, really tough time for them. And then they're back, they're in trying to find their feet, rug is pulled. And now they're back in just 6 weeks to go of their first year in secondary.
Have you heard any top tips from talking to other parents about how they're helping them cope with that?
I think most parents have really, I think they're telling me certainly that they're very worried about their teenagers, that they have, teenagers largely withdrawn from life, withdrawn to the bedroom, are really disengaged. So I think generally there's been an acceptance over the last couple of weeks. It was just a case of head down, get through it, and hopefully when they return to school on Monday, things will start to fall back into place a little bit. I think there's been an acceptance that we could only do so much. Anybody who had a younger teenager who wasn't in school since December just had to really cope, and that's what it became about, coping and getting through it rather than expecting them to manage, because I think the ask of them was absolutely huge. You know, the very essence of who teenagers are, they depend on support from peers, from teachers, routine, structure. They depend on motivation. So the online learning, I know perhaps they have better understanding than primary school children, but it's a very vulnerable state. So I think the kind of only tips that there were, the only things that parents could do was literally get through it, just get through it, survive the couple of months and hope things will turn a corner on Monday when they go back.
Jen, do you think that we have lost many kids to education over the course of this massive social experiment?
We absolutely have, and that's the really sad thing. There were some teenagers in particular hanging on by their fingernails to the education system, some perhaps from vulnerable backgrounds, some not so. But I have had parents get in touch with me, one in particular who mentioned that his teenager would not be returning after this period of school closures, that he was now 16 and was leaving school and had decided not to return. You know, the whole lack of motivation that there's been for teenagers, that lack of support, as I said, all that has had a knock-on effect, and particularly for those that were just hanging on in there. So there's children and teenagers now. There'll be lifelong implications of these school closures, lost forever to the education system. Some of them who didn't get to do the junior cert either, of course, because last year's junior cert was cancelled. They were talking perhaps transition year students this year. It's a real tragedy, and I suppose it's one of the things that isn't perhaps considered. It was a case, I think, for the majority, look, head down, get through it, but perhaps forgetting about those who are particularly vulnerable and those particularly susceptible to the closures.
Have parents been giving you any reaction to the threatened industrial action by the unions?
Yeah, that has not gone down well at all. I think there's obviously parents want teachers to feel safe in school, and irrespective of viewpoints about whether or not teachers should be vaccinated as a priority, parents did not like the idea of their children and their teenagers being used as pawns in this argument and bargaining chips, perhaps the whole idea that their education could be possibly disrupted further by industrial action. So it nearly seems to be the straw that may break the camel's back in terms. I'd be concerned about parent-teacher relationships if this was to go ahead. And in fairness, I have teachers getting in touch with me and they're very frustrated about this because they don't want industrial action either. This has obviously been discussed at union level, but yet it hasn't been received well at all, any prospect of industrial action at all by any of the parents who've got in contact with me.
Jen Hogan, thank you very much. It's a minute past 11. Let's go over to the newsroom now and Susan Jackson.